As we continue our study through the Lord's Prayer, I would ask you to turn once again with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. And will you please follow along as I read out loud to you, beginning in verse 5. And we read what Jesus said to his disciples, that when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. As we read from the shorter catechism this morning, question 105, what do we pray for in the fifth petition? The answer that we read is that in the fifth petition, which is, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us, that God, for Christ's sake, would freely pardon all our sins, which we are the rather encouraged to ask because by his grace we are enabled from the heart to forgive others. And this is crucial, this is critical to keep in mind, that it is only by the grace of God that we are enabled to truly forgive those who have trespassed against us. But the fact that by the grace of God, those who are truly converted to Christ are enabled to forgive those who trespass against them, we would see this as an evidence or a fruit of genuine and sincere faith. This is one of the articles of faith. This is one of the things with which we are told that we ought to clothe ourselves, that we would clothe ourselves with forgiveness. As I was reading this week and preparing for this sermon, I came across the account of a little African Negro boy who, a little over 100 years ago, he was only 10 years of age, and he went to hear the preaching of a certain missionary. And through the missionary's preaching, the boy was converted to Christianity. And his master, who was a long-standing enemy to missions, missionary work, and the gospel in general, hearing that the boy had gone to hear the preaching of the Word of God, commanded the boy that he was never to go there again on the threat of punishment of death. And he told the little boy, 10 years old, keep in mind, that he would have the boy whipped to death if he ever went again. Well, this troubled the little boy deeply. The little boy, his faith was extremely sincere, even though he was only 10 years old. And so he did the only thing he could think of to do. He went and he fell down on his knees before the throne of grace. And he petitioned God, "What should I do in this dreadful situation that I am in, where my master has forbade me to go and hear the word of God preached?" And as he sought direction and assistance from God at the throne of his grace, he felt convinced that it was still his duty, as one of the citizens of the kingdom of God, a brother now to Christ, that he would attend the preaching of the ministry of the Word of God, but that he would be very careful that he should never allow his attendance at the preaching of the Word of God to interfere with his master's business. And for the rest of it, he would leave it in the hands of God. And so this little boy went again to hear the missionary preach. And on his return, he was summoned immediately to his master's presence. And after much violent and verbal abuse to the boy, the master commanded that the little boy would receive 25 lashes. And so his command was complied with. The little boy received 25 lashes, after which the master, in a very sarcastic tone of blasphemous ridicule, asked the child, "What can Jesus Christ do for you now?" And the child answered him, "He enables me to bear it patiently." "Give him 25 more lashes," the master replied, in an act of inhuman cruelty. Again, his command was complied with. The little boy received 25 more lashes. 50 lashes now the boy had received, which is more than is thought the human body is capable of receiving without being brought to the point of death. The master, this unfeeling monster, went to the boy and asked him, "What can Jesus Christ do for you now?" The little boy answered, "He helped me to look forward to a future reward." This threw this tyrant into such a mad rage that he commanded the boy receive another 25 lashes. And as the flesh was literally stripped from the boy's body now, and he's groaning, the death rattle is starting in the little boy's spasming body as he is in utter agony. This horrible creature demanded of this little dying victim, "What can Jesus Christ do for you now?" And the little boy turned to the master and he said, "He enables me to pray for you, Master." And he died. Jesus taught his disciples to pray, "Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us." We live in a world that is so horribly marred by sin that if it were not for the restorative effect of forgiveness, the burden of the reality of life's ugliness would be more than we could bear. And so Jesus teaches us that we would pray, "Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us." One of the first things we learn for sure in this text, in this particular passage, is that our sins are real debts. Look with me, if you would, at Luke chapter 7. This is the passage of where we read, Jesus went to the house of a certain Pharisee for dinner, and there was a woman who was likely a prostitute. And when she heard Jesus was there, she took the flask of that expensive perfume and poured it on his head and washed his feet with her tears and dried them with her hair and kissed his feet and so forth. But let's read the text. Beginning in verse 36, Luke chapter 7, then one of the Pharisees asked Jesus to eat with him. And Jesus went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and she began to wash his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head, and she kissed his feet and anointed them with the fragrant oil. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he spoke to himself, saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him, for she's a sinner." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." So he said, "Teacher, say it." There was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50, and when they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more? Simon answered and said, I suppose the one whom he forgave more. And he said, you've rightly judged. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. And then Jesus said to the woman, your sins are forgiven. And we see in this account, by the short parable that Jesus uses to describe the situation to Simon the Pharisee, that our sins are real debts. And not only are they real debts, but they are very great debts, as Jesus describes for us in another passage in Matthew chapter 18, where we read in verse 21, Peter came to Jesus and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times. And Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold, his wife and children, and all that he had, and that payment be made. And the servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, I'll pay you all. And the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave the debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat and saying, pay me what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, have patience with me and I will pay you all. And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him and said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you, if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespass. And so we see here that what Jesus is describing is that our sins are not trifling matters. They are not light. He describes the servant as owing a debt of 10,000 talents to the master, while the servant's fellow servant only owed him several denarii. And when we think of our sin as though it is a small affair, that it's not worthy of much attention, as if it were nothing more than a slight oversight or some such thing, it robs Christ of his glory, and God will not tolerate that. When, as a matter of plain and clear fact, sin is the most serious issue with which we have to deal with in this life, we all have a tremendous sense of awareness when insults and injuries have been perpetrated toward us, and their seriousness, their depth, their gravity. But we always want to minimize, to trivialize the offenses that we commit towards another person. We have an endless list of excuses why our sin is not as bad as someone else's sin. But the truth of the matter is that our sin is so bad, it creates such a debt that there is no way we could repay it, as we have just read in this account and in the previous account in Luke chapter 7. And when those two servants in the Luke account could not pay, they were freely forgiven their debts. And whereas where it should have been our lot, that we would be consigned to the place of everlasting torment because our sin is that grievous, God has forgiven us all of our sin on the basis, on the merit of Jesus Christ. But we are taught that we ought to pray for this forgiveness, as we read in the Matthew 6 account. Forgive us our trespasses. This is proper. This is appropriate. This is how we ought to pray, that we would pray for the forgiveness of these debts. The Psalms are full of such instances. We are taught to pray that in Psalm 130 and verse 4, but there is forgiveness with you that you may be feared. We are taught also in the Psalms that we ought to pray earnestly for this forgiveness. For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. We are taught to pray that we ought to plead with God on the basis of His tender mercies. When in Psalm 51 the psalmist prays, have mercy on me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. We are taught to pray this on the basis of the work of Christ's merit alone. When the Apostle Paul teaches us in Romans chapter 3, therefore being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by His blood. This is the basis upon which we anticipate and expect to receive genuine forgiveness for our sins from the Father who is in heaven. This is what we are taught to pray when Jesus said, pray in this way, forgive us our trespasses. This should be our daily prayer. Because if you'll recall, we are to pray for daily bread in this same prayer. We are taught in this same prayer to ask for God daily provisions. And so, too, we ought to ask for daily forgiveness, that we would receive genuine, actual forgiveness in the forensic sense, and that also we would receive from God the blessing of being relieved of that sense of guilt and shame, that burden for our sin, which only God can give. Brett has been reading for us through the book of Hosea. And in chapter 14, in the first two verses through Hosea, we read, O Israel, return to the Lord your God, for you have stumbled because of your iniquity. Take words with you and return to the Lord. Say to Him, take away all iniquity. Receive us graciously, for we will offer the sacrifices of our lips. Assyria shall not save us. We will not ride on horses, nor will we say any more to the work of our hands, you are our gods, for in you the fatherless finds mercy. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for my anger has turned away from him. I will be like the dew to Israel. He shall grow like the lily. And this is part of what we are asking for when we pray, forgive us our trespasses. Bless us, Lord, with your goodness. Let us experience again the vigor of life, the ability to enjoy the good gifts that you give, that we would lose the sense of overwhelming guilt. And we are to remember that when we pray for forgiveness, that we are praying to God, because only God can forgive sins. When a certain man was, a paralyzed man was brought to Jesus, when his friends broke through that hole in the roof of the house where Jesus was at. They lowered the man down on his bed in front of Jesus, and Jesus saw their faith. He said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." Some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, "Why does this man speak blasphemies like this? For who can forgive sins but God alone?" And the answer is no one. That God alone can forgive sins in the sense of remitting them. We forgive someone when they've sinned against us in the sense that we will not take out vengeance against them, but we cannot take their sin away. There was, during the time of the Reformation era, a friend of the papacy, Johann Tetzel, and he went to Germany to try to quell the upset that was being caused by Luther's preaching of the gospel. And Tetzel went and he was selling indulgences to the people in one of the German cities of Leipzig. And he collected a great deal of money from all kinds of people. And a particular nobleman who was opposed to this idea of selling indulgences put the question to Tetzel and said, "Can you grant absolution for a sin which a man intends to commit in the future?" And Tetzel replied, "Yes, but on condition that the proper sum of money be actually put down." And the nobleman instantly produced the sum demanded, and in return he received a diploma, sealed and signed by Tetzel, absolving him from this unexplained future crime, which the nobleman secretly intended to commit. And not long after this, when Tetzel was about to leave the city of Leipzig, the nobleman inquired respecting the road by which he would probably travel. And then he laid in wait for Tetzel. And he ambushed him at a convenient place. He attacked him, he robbed him, he beat the heck out of him. And he stole all the money that Tetzel had on him. He beat him with a stick. Checked all over to make sure he had every coin that Tetzel had on his body. And as he left, he said, "This is the fault I intended to commit and for which I have received your absolution." Only God can forgive sins. And so it was fitting that Christ, who was God, said to this young man who was let down on his bed, "Your sins are forgiven you." But that we would be forgiven, Jesus also teaches us that we need to be forgiven. He teaches us this quite clearly when he says, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." And the Apostle Paul says something very similar in the book of Colossians and in chapter 3. When he writes to the elect of God in verse 12, "Holy and beloved, put on," in other words, clothe yourselves with tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. We must forgive those who trespass against us. And that means without bearing them a grudge. James said in verse 9 of chapter 5, "Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned." We ought not to bear a grudge against one another. We need to stand ready to be reconciled to those with whom we are estranged by some real or perceived offense. Jesus taught, whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your trespasses. And we are also taught that having then a forgiving spirit, that when we are in a position of having advantage over someone, in other words, when someone has offended us and comes to us seeking mercy, that we need to be very willing and ready to extend forgiveness. In that Matthew 18 passage that we read, where the one servant owed his master 10,000 talents, and the servant went out to his fellow servant who owed him only 100 denarii, and skipping down in this section, we read that the master said, "Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you?" And the clear, resounding answer to this rhetorical question is yes. Is it then a necessity of being pardoned for our sin? All I can tell you, loved ones, is this is what Jesus says. If you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And so it leads us to ask this final question, will God forgive those who do not forgive? The inference is no. If you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. There are undoubtedly people who have insulted and wounded you just this week. Likewise, you have undoubtedly insulted and wounded others. What ought we to do then? Hang on to these grievances? Clothe ourselves with the clothing of unforgiveness? Remember what Jesus said, that we reap whatsoever we sow. Clothing ourselves with unforgiveness, there is nothing that we ought to expect from others than that they would be unforgiving toward us. Rather, loved ones, as Paul wrote, "Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do." Will you bow your heads with me? And Father, we thank you for this passage of Scripture from which we have learned so much. It has exposed the depth of our depraved natures, as well as the extent of your incredible love and mercy. And I pray, Father, as those who have benefited from the forgiveness of Christ, from the gospel that we have heard preached to us and now believe on, that we would be forgiving people, that we would clothe ourselves with meekness and long-suffering, that we would forgive one another. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.